in Genesis 17, in verse 9, we studied essentially the study of the first 17, 1 through 8, last time. In verse 9 it says, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generation." Now, you notice that it... I don't know how you... To the Gentile mind, when you hear thou shall, it's a rule. To the spiritual mind, when you read the scripture, when you read the Torah, and you hear thou shalt, it's a what is. The seed shall keep the covenant. You don't have to worry about it. You understand that? The thou shalls and the thou shall nots are not rules. They're what is. They're rules to Babylon that selectively take a few and say, we can do this, we can try. And then they have to invent one. God helps those that helps themselves so that they can justify their selective application. God doesn't help those that help themselves. I promise you that. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Now, we are of that seed. It's not seeds as of many, but one seed, which is Christ. Hear that? It's not an option. It's a Torah. It's a fact. It's a certainty. It's a bet your life on it. Now, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. All that big billop was all for that. Circumcised. What in the world is circumcision for? Why is it such a big deal in the Torah? What does it mean? It says you must be circumcised or you're not a part of it. You know, we're in a very little while, we're going to find 46 penalties of death. One of the things for which the death penalty is given is not being circumcised. The word circumcised in verse 10 is mul. It means to cut short.
This is really heavy on me, but it's a joke. You know, it's like, think of the first guy to eat an oyster. It's not that big a deal for an 8 or 9 year old, a 9 day old baby to be circumcised. He doesn't know what's going on. He has no choice. But for the first grown man to do this,
Abraham.
I know. It's an unbelievably big deal.
Oh, yeah. You have to circumcise the foreskin. The word foreskin is orla. It means that which is projecting loose. It also means contempt. But remember, everything is a picture in here. Circumcision is a picture of something. Can only happen in the law on the eighth day, except for Abraham, but then he was only circumcised in order that he could enter the eighth day. In a sense, it was still the picture. The word eight is the key to understanding circumcision. The word eight is shemona in the Hebrew, and it means a surplus. And it was surplus because it was more than the perfect number seven. After the flesh, the best that you can be is number seven. Understand? So eight after the flesh is too much. It's more than perfection. Am I getting a hint? Is there any little hint of understanding?
I thought six was the best.
So seven is six. All a man can do is get to 666.
So does this have something to do with like the death penalty or something on the eighth day? I think you only see on 7 days.
That's what I was asking. But I need to do that. How do we get to eight? I don't understand where you jump. You're circum. Okay. Look in verse 12. Well, let's read 9, 10, 11, 12. God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and the seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. What in the world is going on? Why circumcised on the eighth day? You understand? Numerology in ancient Israel was based on a fact that every letter had a numerical value. That was their, they didn't have letters and numbers, do you understand? They only had letters. And letters, every letter had a numerical value. Therefore, every number could be made into a word. You got it? Okay, do you all know that, like, George Orwell studied the Kabbalah? He's the guy that wrote the book, 1984. He studied the Kabbalah. He was fascinated with ancient Jewish mysticism. The word he got in 1984, if you wrote, you know, if you spell Tashmad, which is the Hebrew word for ultimate destruction, terror, destruction, its numerical value is 1984. Am I communicating with you? Okay, that's why he named the book 1984. It wasn't because of the year. It wasn't like a projection. It was the fact that the Hebrew name, and he sent it to the publisher with Tashmad as the name of the book, and then they had this big explanation of what it meant. The publisher wisely said, no, let's just name it 1984. Okay, here, the number eight is the number, is Shemua. It's like he's circumcised on the Shemua day. Well, that, to the ancient mind, to which we have to have, or otherwise we'll never understand this, was a mind-blowing concept. Because to them, if he would have been circumcised on the seventh day, it would have made sense. Then they would have known what it meant. Then it would have made perfect sense from their concept of numerology, from understanding. But to circumcise it on the eighth day is unbelievable. It's like they don't know what it means. Because the eighth day to them is something too much. It's more than that which is perfect, so it is thrown off. It's not a good thing. It's contemptible. Now think of what they did to Jesus Christ and his resurrection. In the circumcision is the mystery of the resurrection.
And the desire for
perfection of the flesh, and the desire for it being cut off. And the mystery of sexuality and everything else is tied up in this mystery. It sounds stupid to the, you know, to just our Gentile mind. This is my covenant. You shall be circumcised on the eighth day. Say what? But when you understand what those words would mean to that language, you begin to get an understanding that it just blew their minds. They should have been circumcised on the seventh day. That was perfection. They would have understood that. Going from the old, they would have said a convert had to come in and be circumcised, and then they would have said, well, a child is like a new convert, and then they said, a new convert is like a child, and then we have to circumcise them before he can become a part of the Israel. They'd have understood that, and then they'd have tried to perfect the flesh, which they all tried to do. Just as Christianity, just as you're trying to do. God says you can't do it. You can't perfect the flesh, therefore the symbolic, you're cut off on the eighth day. I hope I'm getting a hint of what the mystery of this. Now, just in the last few years have they understood something. Let me tell you some things about circumcision. Okay, first of all, three classes to be circumcised, according to what we just read. All male children of Israelites, all male servants of Israel, all male servants and their children, and all males of foreigners that are in Israel.
In Israel, you mean like they're walking through, or
no,
they came and stayed,
like living in Israel. If you read Luke 2:21, you'll see that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Everybody knows that. Now, the covenant is in the flesh. It is always seen whenever there is a need for expelling. Just as the new covenant is also known whenever there is a need to eat or drink. The old covenant is seen whenever there is expelling. New covenant. In fact, the dregs of the wine, whenever the dregs of the wine are released, you have to handle the old covenant. That's why you're built like you are, the males are. You understand?
So, yeah.
No.
Handle the old covenant.
Circumcision is the mark of the old covenant. Whenever you have to take a leak, you have to handle the old covenant. It's handled in the act of expelling. That's the idea. It's to be, it once had value, now it doesn't.
Okay.
Not what the thing you're handling, I mean.
No, that's true.
You hear me? Actually, that's true right now.
You know, this tape, I mean, you've got to have visual aids.
All right. I want to talk about something there that's really kind of, it's sad because what we're going to talk about is this weird thing. The peak incidence of cervical cancer occurs between the ages of 31 and 50. It makes up of 30% of all the cancers in women. It's 80% of all genital cancer. Jewish women are almost totally free of this cancer. In uncircumcised males, cleansing is difficult. As a result, many virulent bacteria grow profusely. One of these is a bacteria called Smegma bacillus. name of the bacteria is Smegma bacillus, and it's a cancer-producing bacteria. During intercourse, these bacteria are deposited on the cervix of the uterus. If the mucous membrane is intact, i.e. before childbearing age, or before childbirth, there is little or no harm. There's almost no incidence of cancer. However, on those mucous membrane, if lacerations exist, as they frequently do during childbirth, these bacteria cause irritation, which is then susceptible to cancer. That's why women have to have their pap smears, especially after 30. During infancy, now that's off the cancer for a minute, but I find that fascinating.
Cervical cancer is the same way. Women who have higher incidence of having more multiple partners having come in contact with that have a higher incidence.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what is cervical cancer.
I'm talking about ovarian cancer.
No.
Oh.
That's cervical cancer. I just mentioned her ovarian cancer. Okay, now, let's talk about the act of cutting, the bris. And the, as the, what?
I was just remembering the ice cube in the wine and going like this.
Okay.
I just remembered it.
Yeah, what they do is they take the rabbi has to use a blade that's made with and it's an obsidian blade. It's a particular kind of that the Indians used to use for arrows. And it's done in a quick thing, but then it's an ice cube and dipped in wine. And that's the huh?
It's the ice.
Yeah. Now this is wild. When the moment that occurs, the child is then wrapped in a diaper-like thing, which is called in the scripture the swaddling clothes. But it's not the swaddling clothes of the infant. The father saved the Jewish tradition, the father saved his wrapping from his circumcision. And when the newborn baby was born, then the baby was wrapped in those clothes. The blanket that the baby was put in at its birth was that same swaddling clothes that the father was wrapped in when he was had his circumcision. Christ was wrapped in the swaddling clothes of the Father. But that's another story. I'll get into that later. Okay, during infancy, hemorrhaging is particularly dangerous. It's almost as if they have, what's the bleeder's disease?
Hemophilia.
If extensive, it can produce serious damage to internal organs, especially the brain, and may cause death from shock. The tendency to hemorrhage is thought to be due to the fact that an important blood clotting element, which is called vitamin K, which has just recently been discovered, by the way, is not produced in normal amounts until either the fifth day in life. The first safe day would be the eighth day. They couldn't have known this. Another element necessary for clotting is the called prothrombin. Prothrombin grows to 110% of its normal amount on the eighth day and then levels off to normal in all male infants.
The clotting agent.
It's like the reason I know we're near the end is because all these mysteries are now made known by science.
When little boys are born now, do they circumcise them?
No. A lot of times they do it after birth.
Hmm?
I know. used to for a number of years. They did it in the room,
delivery room.
And then they had. A lot of the hospitals don't even do it because they've had so many problems with it. So, what we can expect if God delays His return is a generation, in just a few years, a generation of women with cervical cancer, terrible cervical cancers.
When I was at Mother, I had fear of that. I'd say most of the little boys I had were uncircumcised. I mean, it was so painful. Yeah. And I was talking, whenever it would even come up, your mothers were really, I think it's unhealthy, and, just let them be as they are.
Oh, yeah.
It was the rare little boy who was circumcised.
Especially, I mean, part of the New Age philosophy is the no circumcision.
Yeah.
Don,
you showed
a week ago.
It's not a week ago. Dicks,
Undone.
But you're going to have to, your doctor's saying it's, you shouldn't do this, it's terrible, it's just riskier to do it. So it's like this whole thing I wasn't even aware of. It's all so that, I'm sure it's true.
Yeah.
But it's why.
Now, in Egypt, they practiced circumcision, but they did it a little differently. Okay. In the ruling class of priests were circumcised at the age of 20, and it was like a rite of passage. In Babylon, however, it happened when at the male's initiation rite, and it was preceded by an orgy with the temple prostitutes. Jews were uncircumcised in Egypt because there. Only the priests were circumcised. It was a distinctive mark of the ruling class.
Oh. So they could get in big trouble with it.
They found someone that was circumcised. And then that was a death penalty if they weren't part of the ruling class. Because with that as your credential, you were able to gain entrance into certain places.
What do you have to do? Yeah, to say it. Secret Service!
Can I see some ID?
Sign.
Your key, son.
Sign.
That's it.
My badge. How old are you, son?
Yeah.
21.
That's right. We're going to have to stamp you.
So then to practice the most basic thing of their religion was a death.
That's right. In fact, that's the point of it. In Egypt, you cannot keep the covenant, according to the law. You can't, if you're in the world, according in your mind, I mean, if we've seen this, you can't do any of this. It's like Israel couldn't sacrifice, they couldn't make the sacrifice required under the law while they were in Egypt, because the animals they had to sacrifice were worshipped. That'd be like going to India and your religion is to kill a cow.
Does that have anything to do with Ishmael was born before Isaac?
Isaac.
Yeah,
and we'll see that in big time in that. Exodus 4. Now remember, the only guy that the Jews think of more of than Abraham was Moses.
Right?
Huh?
Right.
Go to Exodus 4, starting in verse 19. At this point, Moses had been in exile for 40 years. He'd been hanging around. He'd been down in here for 40 years. 40 years. He'd been the heir apparent. He was going to be the next Pharaoh. The title, he was son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was going to be the next Pharaoh. And then, all of a sudden, things happen. Now he's exiled to the wilderness for 40 years. He knew a little bit about the wilderness because in one of his campaigns, one of his jobs was to go down and straighten out the turquoise mines and other gem mines that were down in this area. So he'd been down here before. But then he had an army with him. Now he's down here alone.
For 40 years.
Alone in the wilderness. Now, Moses would say to you, tell me about your problems, yeah, you got a problem. Ducky.
You don't see
like
in the wilderness?
Huh?
The first time he
was there as son.
No, but I'm talking about after that. He was in the wilderness by himself, and then in the Exodus, they wandered in the wilderness for a
week. Now while he's been in... After he's been here for a while, he marries somebody, his second wife. So now he's been in the wilderness and he runs into the Canaanites, you remember, and his father-in-law. So now he marries another girl here called Keturah. So, but now they've been he's 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and now we're at 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. I really like this part of it. I want us to get here quick. This is the really fun part, yeah.
Where we get to go back.
Huh? We're not gonna, no, I'm restraining myself from talking about all this stuff. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou doest all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And see why this is my favorite part? The Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. Sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.
He's going back when his sons weren't circumcised.
He hasn't found the details here.
Yeah. This is strange.
He's going back when his sons weren't circumcised.
Yeah, I get that part. I don't get the wife's response.
She was a heathen. She thought it was stupid.
Well, there's still a question in the Talmud as to whether or not that God wanted to kill Moses or his son, or both. The reason here is that the thing that I believe is taking place, first of all, is that since Moses at this point had not, he had neither circumcised himself in these 40 years, nor had he circumcised his son.
Either one. Cut off.
Right. Kill. But the reason it's juxtaposed here in the Torah, he's just given the orders to free his people. Then you read that God's out there trying to kill him. So it gives you an idea of what's important to God versus what's important to man. I mean, here we are deal. If you're result oriented and God comes down to you and says, I got this job for you, Harry.
You say, okay.
Okay. And in the process, you ignore the basic thing, the reason for existence. the sign of the covenant, you're going to die.
Why wasn't Moses circumcised the eighth day?
Because they would have, then he would have been killed. Remember, he was the child.
He got hidden away.
He got hidden away. Oh, I forgot.
That story.
Another story.
All right.
In fact, in order to keep him hidden and out of danger, to circumcise him would have really jeopardized him. Right?
But why didn't he circumcise the son?
Disobedience. That's the point.
By her response to this, I'm sure she was not.
She was not too happy with this whole thing. Not about him.
Her son. Touch my son.
Is she a Jew?
No. Her elder. No, she's a Midianite.
Well, that's it.
Her eldest son is about to get his pee-pee whacked.
He went along with what his wife wanted.
But listen.
He thought she was more important than what God told him to do. That's all. He didn't do it.
Zipporah cut her own son. Zipporah did the circumcision. No. It meant that she heard, she knew that God was after, she knew there's a big deal going on here. I mean, he's at, this word in here doesn't mean in, we'll see that later, but he's hiding out. He suspects something's going on. And she knows that she's going to lose her eldest son and her husband, who's her, I mean, that's a big deal in these days. And so she does the obedience to the Lord, which saves Moses. The Gentile did the circumcision, which saved Israel.
That's why she said that.
Yeah. So she touched Moses' feet with the blood and said, "This is what you are, a husband and a bridegroom of the blood." She's not saying it. It's not. She's exhorting him. She's not chewing him out.
Oh, I thought she was
chewing
him out.
You understand?
No, I thought she was tearing into him.
Yeah.
You like that. Rick likes that. Rick likes that.
I'm reading the Bible, you aren't there.
I can make you go away.
Poof, you're gone. Okay, the other part of circumcision is that the shedding of blood was necessary to validate the contract. Without the shedding of blood, there's no reminder, there's no remission. Without blood, there's no remission. It was a foretaste, again, it was a foretaste of Christ's death. The shedding of blood is always a signifier of the death. And then the eighth day is the signifier of the resurrection. Now, there's a neat thing. Let's go to Leviticus 19.
Was Moses ever circumcised?
Well, that's the Talmud says that he and his son were circumcised here at this time. It's obsidian.
It's, like glass.
It's like a sharp knife. It's like a razor. You could shave with a razor.
It's like glass.
Moses, the baby Moses, was found by Pharaoh's daughter, right?
Right.
Raised by Pharaoh's daughter.
Right.
In the palace.
Right.
He wouldn't be circumcised.
Huh?
They would.
No, he wasn't a priest. It was only the priest that could be circumcised.
He was going to be the next Pharaoh.
Yeah, but he wasn't a priest. The priest was lower than him.
Well, I thought the ruling class. I thought Pharaoh was a priest. I thought Pharaoh's family.
No, Pharaoh was the god.
Pharaoh was the god.
So Pharaoh wasn't circumcised.
No.
Oh, okay.
You got it? Leviticus 19.
Hey, you said ask.
I agree. I want you to ask. Verse 23, "And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food," Leviticus
19.
19:23.
Leviticus 19, verse 23. And when ye shall come into the land and shall plant it all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you, it shall not be eaten of. But on the fourth year all the fruit thereof shall be holy, to praise the Lord withal. Now, it's interesting to me, and it's the same word. They would, remember, we've talked about the spiritual meaning of it. It is as a body which is supposed to produce fruit. You may produce some fruit, but it's not, it's uncircumcised. It's orla, it's illegal. We can't produce fruit that has any merit until after the third year. You got it? It's to be counted as uncircumcised. Now, let's go to, we're going to look at some, well, you won't want to do this. God, yes we do. Deuteronomy 30. Yeah. It's an important one. Starting verse, in verse 1. It shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the cursing, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God shall drive thee, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord God will turn your captivity, and he'll release you, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from there will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses, which is the Deuteronomy 20 and 29, which are really bad, we're talking bad curses. Some of you may remember them from your hot seats. What? Was that funny?
I thought it was funny.
Curses?
Some of you may remember from your house.
Some of you may remember like that trip to Illinois or something.
Oh.
The chapter 28 and 29.
I'm going to read that.
Yeah. Read that for your entertainment. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon your enemies, and upon them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. Now the point of it is, what in the world is God in Deuteronomy now talking about that the circumcised heart is the thing that's important? So, I mean, the point of it, the gospel has always been preached. And it's the circumcised heart that's always the important. And then there's, and we're not going to go there, but in Exodus 6, it talks about that your lips must be circumcised, your ear must be circumcised, and the heart must be circumcised again. Now, from the New Testament, and again, the Old Testament was just a picture to see the New Covenant. The New Covenant requires only one thing, really, and that's a circumcised heart. That's the sign. Now, how do you know if you have a circumcised heart or not? How can you tell? You can't take it out and look at it. If you take it out and look at it, you die. You didn't look at it. You understand? It's hidden. It's by faith, it's circumcised. But you know
if your heart is circumcised by one thing. Let's go to Romans 2. Do you want me to just tell you or to go to... You mean to go to Romans? Huh? Romans 2. There's a whole section in Romans 2 that talks about how a certain class of people are blaspheming the name of God among the Gentiles. In verse 23 it says, "Thou that makest boast of the law through the breaking of the law dishonorest thou God, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law?" Now here's the one to remember. "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." That's the test. If you require man's approval, your heart is not circumcised. It may be in the process of being, from God, he's cutting around just like the breast is going slow.
Some days you feel that way.
But now what does it mean to require the praise of men? Do I have to tell you?
No.
To be right requires the praise of men. Among many other things. You require somebody's approval. Understand? He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is outwardly. That's a good place to stop. Who's got a pen or a pencil? Let me borrow your pencil. Fundamentally, when we come back Sunday, we'll study what the New Testament view of circumcision is other than that. Because it, in essence, is the difference between law and faith. Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.